Welcome to the City View Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
Good morning, City View.
Good morning. Well, I want to start by introducing us. We have been married. This year in April was our 30th anniversary. Yay!
I know it's hard to believe. You know, you were thinking like, oh, maybe 10 years at the most.
I was 10.
I can't be over 30 years old.
We have three kids, and we homeschooled through all the way through high school. So if we're twitching a little, you know, that explains a lot why. Our oldest daughter is 25, married, and we have our first grandson, who's almost 2 years old. So that's been really fun. She's married to a worship leader. And then our second has been married a couple of years in Portland, and he actually is a worship leader. So that's been exciting. Oh, wait, I can't say that. Never mind. I almost shared more exciting news. So our last one, I know, that would have been really bad. Our last one is just moved onto campus yesterday. So we are officially empty nesters as of today.
And the one that moved on campus was Matthew, who does all of the videos for you guys. So, we are here today to go, the scriptures we're going to be covering are Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, and Jeremiah called and said he wanted us to do this on parenting, and it's obviously a large part of this scripture, but there's a lot here on children, but we're going to be focusing on the parenting aspect, but I want to just cover a couple quick ground rules about today. I want you to know there is no perfect parents. Surprise. We were not perfect parents. We're not up here today because we're perfect parents. We're up here today because we're old.
I did ask him, are we going to share everything we've done wrong? Because what side are we sharing today? So we'll do both.
I want just to address it. If you're a parent in here, and if you're a child, as we talk today, you may have some guilt and shame for how you've lived in these areas. As we talk about what good parenting looks like, you might be sitting there saying, that hasn't been me. And I just want you to take the shame, the guilt, I just want you to park it outside the door. In fact, throw it in the garbage can and just leave it there, because that's not what Christ came for. Christ came to wash us of that shame. We're all imperfect, and we all need him to do a work in us that we can become more like him. The other thing is we're reading out of God's word. You know, we're talking about God's word, and so often I think it's so easy just to listen and to read his word and just go, love is patient, love is kind. You know, it's like blah, blah, blah. But this is God saying this. This is the guy who made this ball we're standing on that's floating in the middle of space. It's spinning at over 1,000 miles per hour right now as we sit on it. It's flying around the sun at the same time at 1,111 seconds per minute, or 11 seconds per hour, and we don't even feel it. You know, what kind of faith does it have just to believe that God can take care of us sitting here in this ball that's just radically flying through space? We serve an amazing God, and I just want us to realize that his word needs to be lifted up and recognized for what it is. This isn't some one of your buddies sitting around saying, hey, I got a couple great things for you I think you need to do in your parenting. This is God telling us how to live life, how to get the most out of life, how to be the most effective and productive kids, parents, going forward. So let's read Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. I'm going to ask you to stand today in honor of God's word. If you can't stand for some reason, stay sitting. But I just really want to honor it. And let's all read this together as I read it out loud. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, verse 1. Children, Obey your parents, because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Verse 2. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well with you, and you will have a long life on the earth. Verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Thank you. You can sit down. So what I noticed here just in the last several years of reading this scripture, I've read this thing for years, but I didn't notice the distinguishing that God does between parents and a father and a mother. I just kind of lumped those two together, and I kind of always wondered, why didn't he just say, you know, children, obey and honor your parents? And what I've come to realize is God was making a distinction between these two, that we're parents and we parent for a period of time. And typically in our society, that looks like somewhere around 18 to 21 years old. And then we're a father and mother, though, forever. There's a period of time where our children are to obey us, but there also is a period of time where they no longer have to obey us, that it moves into honoring us. Let's take a look at the graph. It's called the Growing Up graph. It's from VCLI. It's a discipleship ministry here in town that puts these charts out. And this graph actually is a picture of how old your child is, starting at zero and going through 21. And then the percentage of the kids' control that they have on their own life as they move down the age chart. So we see here that at 100% control in the top right part is that they have 100% control at 21 years old. Now, this is a rough number here because my kids were married at 19 years old. Their requirement to obey me ceased at 19 years old. They no longer have to obey me, but they are called to honor me going forward. So this is kind of just a rough age. If your kids live with you going forward beyond this, then they are obviously underneath your covering and underneath your house, and so they still have to respect the rules of the house. But as we go up this graph and the kids get older and older, we give them more and more control of their lives. We have a friend who at 21 years old, his parents still require him to check in with him, and he's in the military, if he's going to go watch a movie. You know, it's like at some point, you know, we have to release that control and let them start making their own decisions. And the best type of parenting starts to do that gradually over that 21-year period of time. Let's take a look at another parenting style chart. It actually shows four different types of parenting. And what we want to be looking at here is, what does a good parent look like?
So this is divided into, it's based on a couple of factors, and that is acceptance and accountability. So the high acceptance is unconditional love. That is the goal of just the behavior may not be liked, but you are loving your child unconditionally. The high accountability, or the accountability portion, is how well do you follow through and discipline in love? So there can be both extremes, if you're disciplining in love or not disciplining at all, accepting unconditionally and not accepting. So as we go through this, kind of try to see where you land And this is roughly, we were talking about this, and we had instances in every single quadrant that we don't want to share all of them with you because they're we'll focus on the effective. We'll share those. No, but just look at kind of where you're at. So we'll start off in the effective parenting, and we're going to go counterclockwise. So in the top right, that's high accountability, and it's high acceptance. So what you're doing is you're saying to your child, I love you no matter what you do, but I love you enough to hold you accountable and discipline you. Just like our Father in Heaven says, I love you, and my children I discipline. So that's the goal, is the effect of parenting is that we're modeling Christ to our kids, and we're loving him how he loves us. The child in a permissive parent, as you go to the next quadrant, is going to be undercorrected, and that's kind of what characterizes that quadrant. So parents may have a tendency to lay down rules, but there's no follow through. The high acceptance, low accountability has a tendency to have the child feel like, oh, I can do whatever I want. It doesn't matter. And when we were talking, like, we would have a tendency to lean more in the permissive quadrant instead of the effective, because we were both parented with permissive parents. And teaching our kids was kind of a challenge to stay accountable and doing it in love. So the next quadrant is neglectful, and that is characterized by the absent parent. What's interesting is that can be physically absent, so divorce, a parent has passed away, or it can be emotionally absent. So maybe you're working all day and you come home and you just want to sit and watch TV, you want to check out, and you don't know what's going on with your kid. You haven't asked, what's important to you? What's upsetting you? Tell me about your day. That there's no emotional connection there, and the child actually ends up feeling abandoned in both situations. Part of the thought process is, why should I care about others? Nobody cares about me. I'm not important. And this is really important, especially when we're tired. You know, I can think of times when I just feel like, do I have to discipline again? Can I just pretend that I didn't see what you just did? And I mean, we've all been there. But this is an important one to just be going to the Lord. Okay, what do you want me to do here? And the last one we're going to look at is the controlling parenting style. And this is categorized by overprotection and also overcorrection. And it can work both ways. This parent is a little bit more critical, and there can be labeling involved, like, you are so lazy. Do you ever listen to me? I mean, things that can pop out of our mouth that we're like, oh, did I really just say that? And I think in our flesh, that's easy. That's an easy thing, you know, to do. A child in this family can sometimes feel like, I can never please them. Like, why try? That it's so difficult, and they're never happy. So Steve has an example that ties into our scripture of fathers don't provoke your children.
I always want to take a black marker and just take that one out of the Bible. because I failed in that area so many times over the years. And I think as I got older, I started to do a little bit better here and there. And God just continued to do his work in me to change that. But we probably, as a couple, like she said earlier, we lean in the permissive side of this chart. And I think if you notice that the high acceptability, the love, unconditional love, that those two quadrants up above are the best type of parenting and the second best type of parenting. So if you're going to err, you know, you want to err on giving your kids too much love, too much acceptance, you know, just how proud you are, that you want your kids to know down deep inside that they're fully accepted just the way they are. Maybe their behaviors aren't the best at times, but that has nothing to do with who they are and how much you love them. But I would occasionally creep down into the very controlling segment of this chart. And it typically happens when I'm tired, late at night, just really got a lot on my mind, or it might happen at a time when we're hurrying out of the house and we're late. Like
on your way to church?
Even on my way to church. But one day, I'll give you an example of, I walked in and it was late at night, and my son, Matthew, who's, are you around here, Matthew, so I can point to you? Anyway, he was on the Xbox, and Xbox drives me crazy as it is. And I know some of you kids in here already hear that from your parents. But he was on it for a long time, and we had had many discussions about, you know, how long to stay on it. You know, it's a privilege to have this thing. And he was going way over that, and I was tired, and I'd already talked to him a couple times, and he said, I'm stopping. And I'd come down, and he was still there, and I was just, like, ready for bed. And I kind of exploded on him, and I said, you know, boom, shut the thing off. Go to your room. And I follow, you know, he goes up into his room, and as he leaves, I'm just like, oh, man. You know, I just handled that, you know, in my temper and my anger. Not in a good way. And God's just kind of speaking to me, and I'm feeling the shame and the guilt all over already just as he's walking away. And the Lord said, you know, go and make it right with him. Go and tell him that you blew it in the way you parented right then was not the right way to go about it. So I walked up in my room, and I come around the corner. He's sitting there with his arms crossed, laying on the bed, and he's looking at me with a big smile on his face. It's like, well, that's kind of weird. And I go, you know, buddy, how I handled that was completely wrong. And I said, would you forgive me for how I dealt with you right then? And he looked at me and he said, you know, Dad, one thing I know about you is that you're always going to come and make it right. And it was like at that moment I realized that all those times of coming and making it right with my kids, even if I had blown it, was such a huge deal. And that they were... And that they were looking at me that way, that, you know, they knew I was going to come and apologize and ask for their forgiveness. So, do you want to take that over?
Just real quick, I wanted to just add in that our goal is effective parenting, to love our kids like Christ loves us. But, and I have plenty of examples like Steve's where we've blown it, but I've come back and apologized and modeled, you know, forgiveness and what that looks like. And sometimes what we can do is we can start parenting in the way that we were parented. So maybe your parents were very permissive and you default to that's how you're parenting and you let them get away with murder in certain situations. And that's how you were parented. Or your parents were super controlling and you don't want your kids to have that same relationship that maybe you have with your parents, so you kind of go to the other extreme. So it's really important that as we look at this, we're not parenting how we were parented. There's a scripture that says, you know, our parents discipline as they felt best, but he disciplines us perfectly. He loves us perfectly. And so we want to go to the Lord to be looking at what does this look like? Because like Steve said in the beginning, there are no perfect parents. And there's a great scripture in Deuteronomy that I think really, really shows us what that looks like.
So it's called the Shema, and it actually means Hear, O Israel, and it's God pleading with Israel to basically listen, hear me, you know, pay attention to what I'm saying here. And so I'm going to read Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. We've heard that in other places in the Bible, haven't we? These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your forehead. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. And that word in verse 7, impress, you know, if you actually take like your fingernail and just push it into your skin and hold it for a couple seconds and then turn it the other direction and hold it, it kind of makes a cross. You know, but what's it leave there? It leaves a dent in your skin. It leaves a mark. This word impressed here actually means to leave a mark. To impress the word of God and be talking about it all the time on your kids, that when they leave someday and you become empty nesters, that this mark has been left on them of Scripture and what God desires and teaches us how to be pleasing to Him. The Shema here was used by Jewish families at all of their festivals, all of their daily rituals where they would start in the morning in prayer and honor God, in the evening honor God. But the Shema was always part of that reading. It was the very centerpiece of the Jewish faith. And it's such a great picture of how we're to parent. Just that we need to be talking about it all the time. When we're getting up, when we're lying down, when we're walking along the road. Because things happen as we go through that process.
This is a scripture I just feel so passionate about. We felt the Lord called us to homeschool our kids, and this is the goal. I mean, I think it's all of our goal is to be Christ to our kids and to model this to them. But it's interesting. I remember the Lord just. I remember complaining and whining one day, telling him, like, I can't do this. This is just, I can't do this anymore. I am not super organized. I gave him every reason, you know, why I couldn't, like Moses. And the Lord just really impressed on my heart that I am using your children to drive you to your knees. So in your weakness, I'm going to be glorified. And there was one particular morning that I think I had spanked everybody, and it wasn't even noon. And I'm like, this is going to be a terrible day. And somebody else disobeyed again, and I started a habit that I would run up to my bed, and I would lay on my bed, and God, if you don't help me, I'm going to scream at all of them, and they're going to be tied up before Steve walks in the door tonight. They'll be tied to chairs. And just
and they were.
Only a couple, though.
Oh, weirds will say that.
But it was just this place of wanting this, but not being able, you know, in my own strength to do this. And I think this is where verse 5 is key, that we can't do this in our own strength. The Lord says, first and foremost, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then you teach your kids. And out of the overflow of our walk with him and our desire to be Christ-like and to die to our flesh and to repent when we blow it and modeling love between us, then we're able to come to the Lord and let him use us to represent Christ. One of the things that is really important in the goal of parenting is we're teaching them to respect us and obey us so that when we're out of the picture, we're handing this over to the Lord. And we've taught them how to go to the Lord. We've taught them how to listen to the Lord. And in this process of walking alongside them where they see, they know us better than anybody. They see every single time oh, tell that person on the phone I'm not here. Or, you know, they see all of us, all of our actions. And just modeling that to them is our goal. So coming alongside them throughout the day, like, what is important to you? What are you upset about? And teaching them, let's pray about it. And they get to see Christ come through in their life. Steve's got an example of just a cool situation where just God came through amazing for us. And what I think is interesting is how many parenting books are out there. I mean, if you're like me, I've looked at the list and, okay, we need to do devotions, and devotions bombed. I mean, it doesn't matter. We would try so hard to, this is going to be fun.
And it, this will be fun. We're doing devotions.
Somebody would end up in tears, and we're like, we're the worst parents. We're terrible. So in this process, we would just be like having to go to the Lord, because that's the goal. There's no checkoff sheet when you're sitting there and your daughter goes, I want to go to Mexico with the high school camp.
That's my story.
And that's your story. Yeah, it was just so fun seeing God come through.
So this passage here in Deuteronomy is basically how we ended up living life, because we read all the parenting books. You have your devotions this way, you play games this way, you do this, and it did not work for us. This worked for us. And it's so much a part of her and her mother and just her heritage, is that you cannot be around Marla for 10 minutes and not hear something about the Lord. And that's the way it was in our household, is that it didn't matter what was happening, God was always brought into every single thing. Whether they were waking up, going to bed, walking down the road, the Lord was always in the center of things. And that worked for us. And it was kind of like the entire thing we're talking about here, is that just involving God in every aspect of our lives. And, my daughter, Michelle, is a story that I'm going to share quickly. she went on a high school trip. Jeremiah, Scott, and Matt had all been very involved in our kids' lives. She was with them on a trip to California. When she was coming back, a young man took notice of her. And when she got home, she started telling me about this kid, and she was just really enamored that he was interested in her. And he was quarterback of his football team, and he was supposed to be kind of a studly guy. He was coming after her hard. And I'm like, I'm checking this guy out behind the scenes everywhere. I'm calling everybody, what do you know about this guy? Jeremiah, tell me about this guy. And the more I learned, and I don't know what kind of kid he is today, he might be in a different place, but the more I heard and the more I learned was he had a girlfriend, a different girlfriend, like every other week. And I'm like, she is not going to Mexico on this trip with this guy. There is no way. And that's what I felt like saying to her, you know. And that's my controlling side. But God said to me, no, let me handle this. So over the next couple days, we kind of just shelved it, and she's talking about going on the trip, and I'm kind of dropping things, where, are you sure you really want to go, and have you prayed about it? Why don't you pray about it? And I went to bed a couple nights before the trip, and in the middle of the night, God woke me up, and it was like I had a dream about this whole thing, and I could not sleep, and I got up, and God just basically said to me in his gentle way, I've got this. I got this. I'm like, are you sure? So the next morning when she got up and we kind of met downstairs and we're talking about the Mexico trip, she goes, God, you know, God spoke to me last night, Dad. I'm like, what? What did he say? And she goes, I just don't feel like I'm supposed to go on that Mexico trip. And she didn't go. And interestingly enough, because she didn't go, the boy didn't go on the trip either. So he was going for basically one purpose, and that was to get to know her better. But the Lord has his way of dealing with each one of us And each one of us has different things that we've done. Everybody in here is somebody's child. That's revelation. We're not all parents here yet. But as parents, and you who are parents, I'm going to ask you in a couple minutes to bow your head. And I want you to listen to the Lord. And I want you to ask him, what areas have I parented maybe in one of these wrong quadrants? What areas do I need to go to God and ask his forgiveness on how I've parented? I'm going to give you a couple minutes to do that. Children, if you're not parents yet, I want you to think about, is there some way that maybe I haven't honored my mom and dad? Maybe I haven't obeyed them. And I just want you to take it to the Lord right now. Repent of these things. And we've got a God that wants to wash the past, wants to wash everything that's happened. It makes the slate completely clean. I always get a picture of a whiteboard. You know, it's like it's got dirt and printing all over it, and you clean that thing up, and it's just pure white. That's what God does with our sin. That's what he does with our mistakes. That's why we've got this incredible God. It's because he wants to take every parenting mistake, every act of disobedience as a child, and he wants to wash it. So why don't we just bow our heads? I'm going to give you a couple minutes just to go to God and talk to him about what you need to give him right now and ask for forgiveness. Jesus, thank you that you know us intimately, that you know us so well, you know when a hair falls from our head. Your word says you know before we even speak what we're going to say. You say that every day of our lives has been written in a book before one ever came to pass. You know us. You know what's going to happen tomorrow. You know what's happening this afternoon. You know how we failed as parents. You know how we failed as kids. But praise you. Thank you. Thank you for dying on the cross. Not just because we get to live with you in eternity, but because right here, right now, we can be completely forgiven and start fresh. That we can wipe that slate, that marker board clean. Lord, I pray that you would just help each family in here today, maybe leave from here, God, and that they go and sit and talk about the past. They've gone to you and asked for forgiveness, but maybe they need to go to one another and ask forgiveness and say, I've blown it as a parent. Would you forgive me? Dad, I've blown it as a daughter or as a son. Would you forgive me? I've not obeyed you. I've not honored you. God, I pray that you would take today, this moment, that nobody would walk out of here with dealing with past issues, that they would confront, handle, repent, confess the things that they have struggled with along in their life, and then they'd walk free. God, your word says that you came so that we could walk free. And you say when we are free in Jesus, we're free indeed. That these things don't have to stay with us the rest of our lives. God, thank you that you came to restore. You came to heal. I've watched you do that so many times in my life, in other people's lives around me. You're amazing. We love you. We need you. Show up in these families' lives today in a big way, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. For up-to-date series information, find us on social media at CityViewPHX or go to cityviewphx.com.